For those of you that didn't know, I grew up in Virginia and spent almost my whole life there. And when I lived in there, I had the opportunity to visit the Arlington National Cemetery. And it's just outside of D.C. And if you've ever been there, it's a pretty amazing place. I think I got a, do I have a picture of there? I believe I do. But it would have this, it was solemn just seeing these rows and rows of graves and this feeling of awe just in thinking these are the people that have given their lives. These are the people who have secured our freedom with their life. And it was a pretty amazing thing. Yeah, here we go. And it's just amazing to be able to see some of these, and it just kind of blew me away. And one of the reasons why it was put there is so that we remember those who died, and also to remember why they died. It's sort of an echo of the past. Now, it's great that we have this remembrance of those who have given their life for our freedom and those who have passed away, but let's be honest, if we were to focus primarily on the defense of our country based on what we used to do, we'd probably be invaded already. Because we're like, oh, hey, remember back when we beat you? Yeah, better be careful, bud. No, we make sure that we are still a country that is ready for defense. So we can't rely merely on the recollection of that echo of the battles fought and the past remembrance of those. You see, those echoes, they help us to remember what happened, but it isn't until we get out of those echoes that we can actually do something about it. And so today I want to share with you Hebrews 11. And if you know it, it's called the Hall of Faith or the Faith Hall of Fame. Okay, we hear about so many of these heroes of the Bible and how by faith they persevered the trials that they had to go through and they were faithful to follow God. And so today we're going to be reading from Hebrews 11, 29 through 40. If you would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word? By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah or David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others, they were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for all that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for these men and women of faith who have given us these examples. But Lord, I pray that your word would be received today and that we would get out of these echoes, that we wouldn't merely lean on what they've done in the past, but that we would try to make our own echoes. Help us to be faithful. Help us to love you with the love that is unrivaled. Help us to persevere through life and to chase after you with everything that we've got. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us all today. We pray these in your name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So here's the question. Have you guys ever tried to put something together? I'm sure it's probably some wives at some time are like, and failed. But have you ever tried to put something together? Let me tell you, I'm the type of guy, I know, it's strange, I'm the type of guy that actually reads the instructions. I know, and that's only because, you know, as having five kids, there's been more than a few times where I've said, I could do it, who needs instructions? And go, because it's much easier to do it right the first time than to have to do it wrong, take it apart, and then try to put it back together again. And so for me, you know, what I do is I like to read the instructions on how to put something together. And because I think it's just easier that way. Because, you know, if you do A, B, and C, then you should get this, you know, the picture that they give you, in theory, right? You know, if we do what we're supposed to do, then we get what we're supposed to get, right? And this is another reason why I think that so many people are kind of hung up on following the Ten Commandments, say, hey, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, then I'll get this, 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 and this. And we think, hey, if I just follow these specific rules, then I'll be set. Because it's easy to follow the rules sometimes as long as you know the rules. However, there have been some times where I've had the instructions, and I might have missed one thing. And, you know, it might not have been bunk beds. It probably was. But I remember one time I had to take the whole bunk bed apart just because I had one piece of wood that was facing the wrong direction. And the ladder wouldn't attach. And I was like, all right, here we go. I read the instructions, but it's still, I missed one thing. And this is I think sometimes what we do is we try so hard to follow the instructions because this is, oh, we shouldn't do this. Well, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. We should do this. And we get so caught up in following the instructions that sometimes we forget why we're doing it. We want some sort of assurance that, hey, God, you know, if I follow these rules, are we good? Because in truth, I mean, we should be able to follow the commandments perfectly and then be without sin, right? But there was only one person that could ever successfully do that. And he kind of had some cheat codes because he was God. So it for us, we kind of fall short. We miss the mark. And even to take it further, I know some of you guys are like, Joe, even sometimes when I'm going somewhere, I use Google Maps. I know. I don't just go, well, let's just turn down this way, we're good. But there are even sometimes I use Google Maps to get where I want to go because I want to make sure, well, if the traffic's good there, but also I want to make sure I can get there on time and where I need to go. You know, we like these rules to follow, but it's not the rules that are so bad, but sometimes we get so caught up in following the rules that we forget about really living the life. And to kind of pair this up, this is how the Pharisees lived. You see, the Pharisees lived their life chasing after the rules so much that they forgot that they were supposed to be living for God. And I don't need to remind anyone, or maybe I do, but who is the people that Jesus got the most mad at? The religious people who are supposed to be doing what they were supposed to do, but they're completely missing it because they're too busy following the rules. They say, no, look at this, look at this, look at this. And Jesus was like, hey, you, instead of looking at the rules, look at the one who made the rules and then follow the rules because you love the person that made the rules, not because you want to follow the rules. And what we find in Hebrews 11 is so many people that even though they messed up and they fell flat on their face, and they, you know, if they were trying to do something, they probably couldn't put something together. Even if they had Google Maps, you know, God would tell them, hey, I want you to go here. Okay, God, I'm going to go the wrong direction. In Hebrews 11, we find these accounts of these people that they're commended for their faith. I mean, we could probably go down that list and be like, those are some bad people. But yet they're commended by their faith. They walked by faith because they loved God. And this is how God wants us to walk today. Not sticking so hard to the rules that we ignore everything around us. But remember who was the one who made the rules, and we love him. And by loving him, then we say, okay, this is why I follow the rules. Not because, you know, I've got to stick to these rules, but because I love the one who made them. You know, throughout history, we find people that have changed the world. How men and women of faith have given their lives so that God's name can be lifted and glorified. And we you know, we have this hall of faith, but you know what? There's more people than just those people in Hebrews. Okay? And think about this. We have Constantine. Now, whether he was a good guy or a bad guy, he opened up the door. He stopped religious persecution of Christianity. He stopped the Christians from being murdered daily and instead made it a national religion. And he made the toleration for Christianity, ended centuries of persecution. Okay? And then you have Martin Luther. What he did was he shaped the Protestant church by writing his 95 theses that spoke against clerical celibacy, the doctrine of works, and other Catholic doctrines. His stand on these issues is what helped found the church today. And of course, we also hear about these guys named Paul and other writers of the Bible. And other Christian works, people who have influenced Christianity years later, okay? And let me tell you, it's nice to have these echoes. Because we have these things from the past to remind us of where we were and where we're heading. But one of the main characteristics of an echo is that as it goes on, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Okay? Slowly after one, the echo does not resound as strong as it originally did. And it almost seems as if this is how Christianity today is going. These people that have made these echoes throughout time is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. We seem to be content sometimes with listening to the echoes instead of creating some waves of our own. And so today I want to challenge you, church. We need to get out of these echoes. We can't be content with just sitting here, coming in here on Sundays and Wednesdays and think this is enough. Because, you know, there used to be a time where you could probably make the church service as painful as possible. You could probably put thumbtacks on the seats and people still sit there because that's what I got to do. This is the thing that I should do. Let me tell you, church, we need to be life for people. We need to show them who the Christ that we serve is. And we can't be content with just allowing all these other peoples who lived so strongly for Christ, and then for us to do nothing. The writer of Hebrews believes the same way, because he continues in Hebrews 12. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and what he's pointing to is, hey, look at all these people that I just talked about. Look at all these people in Hebrews 11. Look at all these people in the Old Testament. Look at all these people who lived by faith. Look at this great cloud of witnesses and let us throw off everything that hinders us. And the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. The joy of the cross. He scorned its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Sometimes it's easy. When we look at the world around us and we say, what is wrong with this world? It's easy to lose faith and lose heart. It's easy to grow weary. And let me tell you, Christ already laid out before us. He's like, hey, living the Christian life, it's not going to be easy. Matter of fact, if anything, once you accept Christ, things are going to be difficult because the world hates me. And by you aligning yourself with me, the world's going to hate you. But do not fear, because he has already won the war. I know sometimes it's difficult to take a stand. Sometimes it's difficult to face these persecutions, but it's everywhere where we go. Look at Christianity in America. You know, we could go to other countries, and let me tell you, there's some other countries where Christianity is exploding. But then we come to America, and it seems to be at a decline. Why? This is what we need to do as believers. The first thing is this: we need to persevere through life. This is how we get out of these echoes. Now, when I say persevere through life, I don't mean you just sit there and you're like, oh, just another day, got to make it through. You know, and sometimes we do feel that way. But let me tell you, we can't try to just say, keep our head down and try to keep it through, you know, make it through the gauntlet, go, I'll live my life for Christ. This is my cross I've got to bear. You know, we can't just float through life trying to get through with the least distractions. You know, basically, I want you to understand, we can't just sit on our hands in the church service and think God is going to be glorified through that. We're called to be the hands and feet of Christ. This means that we need to go out and be serving. When it says persevere through life, he's you know, look at these action words that he's saying. He's like, throw off that sin. Run with perseverance. This isn't putting your head down, ignoring everything else, and hoping that you make it through to the end of the race. Whether you're a Christian or not, life is hard. Every one of us here have been through struggles, through difficulties, and some of us I don't even want to bring it up. But you know what? As Christians, we have hope. We have salvation that allows us to persevere, even through the difficulties of everything that life has to throw at us, even through the difficulties of everything the world throws at us. You know what? We're like, hey, that's okay. Do your worst, because our God has already won. And as a church, for those of you guys that have ever taken experiencing God, this is one of the truths that you learn. You cannot stay where you are and go with God. Because sometimes God calls us out in a crisis of belief and he says, will you go with me? Will you follow me? And yes, sometimes that means we don't actually go anywhere, but we're doing things for his name. The point is this: we can't just sit here and think God's name will be glorified by filling in a pew or by singing a few songs. We don't really have to worry about this in this area, but I've heard in some places in the far, far north, there's a grave danger of freezing to death. Definitely don't have to worry about that here, unless, you know, you're indoors, maybe. We don't, you know, right, I want you guys to imagine this, because, you know, we obviously can't, but basically, right before you're about to die, what happens is you begin to fall asleep. Because the cold is so much, your body can't handle it, your body begins to shut down, and you fall asleep. And so in order to fight freezing to death, you have to stay awake. You have to keep moving. In a spiritual sense, it's like this for Christians. In order for us to keep from being, you know, stagnant stalagmites, our relationship with Christ, we must stay awake and we must keep moving. We must keep serving. We must keep loving. And we can't stop. Otherwise, our faith will freeze and we'll no longer have that passion and that fire in our hearts. And so what the author is saying, he's like, hey, get out of the bleachers, because Christianity is not a spectator sport. Once you come down and say, I will follow you, Christ, that means I'll actually follow you. Not just, I'll follow you, good luck. See you later. When we say, I will follow you, we get up and we join that race. And let me tell you, Christ doesn't want to hear, hey, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not tall enough. You know, we can think of a million reasons why we can't follow Christ. But I want to tell you, if you don't allow yourself to be used by Christ, the one who made you, then he has every right to be able to say, okay, you're not going to be used by me. You don't need to be here anymore. You have no more purpose on this earth if you decide, hey, I don't want to do what you want me to do, God. Because let me tell you, Christ doesn't care if you're weak, or you're short, or you're stupid, or you're young, or you're old. Because let me tell you, he uses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He uses the weak to put down the strong. If he can use these people in the Old Testament, who these people are seriously flawed and seriously messed up, then he can use me and he can use you. I mean, some of these people, and when you read the Hall of Faith, you're like, you know, some of these people are older than most of the people in this room. Some of them didn't even have enough sense to make a change for a dollar. And yet, God used them. Why? Because through our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Because he can use us so that when we become victorious, we can only do one thing and point to him. So don't go through life thinking, oh, this is just a burden. I can barely make it through. You know, as I said before, yes, the Christian life is difficult. It is hard work. Sometimes we might have to give up things and say, okay, look, I don't need this in my life. And I'm not saying that these are necessarily bad things sometimes, but sometimes we might have to say, you know what, this is okay, but I need to give that up because I need to focus on Christ more. We run the race not because we have to, but we run it with faith, just like this cloud of witnesses did. We run the race to give honor and praise to the Lord. And when we face hardship, sometimes it's difficult because we don't know the big picture. We don't know sometimes what our pain causes. What I've learned in the past is sometimes the pains that we go through, we're able to help others down the road who go through some of these same difficulties. You know, when I was going through the pain, when I was going through the difficulty, I wasn't like, yay, this is great. But now I learn, you know what, God, I thank you for that. Because now I understand, you know, some of the difficulties, some of the pain that the students that I have, some of them that they're going through, I understand. We've been given victory through Jesus Christ. And so because of that, we proclaim his love. It says we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. A lot of times our ability to love is shaped by our experience of love. If we haven't been loved very much, sometimes it's difficult for us to learn how to love. But let me tell you, Christ loved us so much that he set the example. He said, this is the way that you should love. I'm not just saying, hey, I'm the example, love like me. But he's saying, hey, I'm the example, I'm showing my love, now love like me. For the joy of the cross. I mean, think about that. Yay, I'm going to go die a brutal, horrible death. Simply because he knew that we wouldn't have to. That should be our experience of love. It's a love that surpasses anything we could ever know, anything we could ever imagine, because we've had people that have betrayed us and broken our hearts and stabbed us in the back. But there's no greater love than this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He knew how we would be. He knew what we would do. He knew that we would, you know, reject him. We knew that he knew that we would spit in his face and constantly sin. He knew that we would accept him as Savior and then sometimes run the other way. He knew that we would be Judas to him over and over again. And yet he still died for us. He did it joyfully. The sad part is some of us, we don't even joyfully look forward to going to church. So why did he do it with joy? He knew that his death would please the Father. Because he says, through this act, I know that I will glorify God and I will be able to redeem man. But ultimately, he knew that his death would glorify the Father. You know, it's easy to love people that give us stuff. It's easy to love people that treat us nice. It's easy to love people that would die for us. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to love people that hurt us. People that have betrayed us. Those who are unworthy. Those that hate us. And we're like, you know, how can I love them? How can I love them, Jesus? I mean, you tell me that I should love my enemies, but I mean, look what they did. They're not acting like a Christian. They're not even acting like a human being sometimes. And yet, when Jesus was on his knees washing the feet of Judas, he still showed love. He understands. This is a close friend that he's been walking with for the past 3 years. He loved like no one else. He showed his love by loving the tax collector, by loving the beggar, by loving the prostitute, by loving the weak, the diseased, the well-to-do, and the poor, so on, so on. He loved. And he did it as an example. We can say that we love people, but unless we start to show them that love, it's never really going to take. So we need to make sure that we proclaim his love as Christians every day by loving those that he loved. By loving God, we love what he loved and hate what he hates. And he knows us completely. He knows you. He knew you. He knows your secret sin, not who you pretend to be, not who the masks that you put on, not the fancy clothes that we wear on Sundays, but he knows you. And he still loves you. I don't know about you, but that should break us down in awe every day, because for some reason, God still loves me, even though I pretend to be something I'm not. When I walk and I say, yay, I'm a Christian, he's like, not always. I want you to know this. I want you to fully wrap your head around this, because I want you to understand that God loves you for who you are. doesn't love your sin, but he loves you. And because of that great example, we need to set the example for others by creating our own waves, by being, you know, instead of just listening to the echoes of the people that have loved in the past, by being an example ourselves. And the third point is this: we need to pronounce him Lord. He sits down at the right hand of God the Father. He says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. These heroes of faith have faced abandonment, devastation, estrangement. Some of them were barren. They faced world destruction, murder charges, disgrace, blindness, loss of a child, being hunted, tortured, flogged, stoned, sawed in two, persecuted, mistreated, and yet still they're commended for their faith. Let me tell you, times are hard right now. We can't be afraid when we face persecution, when people look at us, and we can't rely on others to echo Christ for us. We need to find our own voice. Let me tell you, church, we can't just be content with doing things because that's the way that they've always been. We need to get out of our own echoes and start making some waves of our own. We need to go out and we need to reach generations lost, because this is exactly what Christ did. He went out. He loved the lost. He went out and he died for them. I mean, think about this. Never before, I mean, look at our country. Look at the state of our country. Christians need to take a stand. And I'm not saying, you know, that let me tell you, getting more religious people in the government doesn't save. This may seem like, whoa, but let me tell you, you know, it's not about religion. It's about proclaiming Christ, about making his name great, not being religious, not jumping through hoops. What we need to do is we need people that are willing to be like Christ, not to set these standards and check off these boxes and to follow these rules, but people who are willing to go out and make a difference in people's lives. We need to find our own voice. We need to take a stand to proclaim Christ above all. We may not be accepted. We may not be liked. Our own family may reject us or hate us. But we need to understand that Christ faced persecution. Yet he did what he had to do. His persecution was justified. And so I want you to understand, you know, there are many Christians today who are dying because they're proclaiming the name of Christ. And in almost every one of those countries where persecution of Christianity abounds, that's where the church is growing. So maybe we need to go out and face a little persecution. Maybe we need to go out and be a little stronger for Christ. We can't rely on the previous echoes to cry out our faith in Christ. As a Christian, you need to be ready to serve, whether it be in your church or sharing your faith with others or living out that Christ-like life. You need your echo to resound throughout time. Let it be an example for others. You know, just as we had some people that were up there. You know, you need to have your own voice so that when people look back at you, they say, wow, their life proclaimed Christ. And look at this echo of how it changed mine. Or look at how it changed their daughters or their granddaughters or their sons. their grandsons. I know a lot of churches have had past difficulties or struggles, and what happens is even years later, those echoes still haunt the church. But if we want to get out of these echoes, we need to live the Christ-like life, to press on, to forgive those that have hurt us, to proclaim His love, to pronounce His love, Him as Lord. So the question I want to ask you is, what kind of wake are you going to make? If we want to truly get out of these echoes, we need to learn to live for Him with all of our heart. And let me tell you, I know that maybe some of you here are saying, you know, I know that I need to follow after Christ more. And let me tell you, I want to encourage you, make that change. Don't say, oh yeah, next week I'll start living my life for Christ more, or maybe tomorrow. No, let today be that day. Maybe some of you say, well, you know what? I know the Christ that you're talking about, but I've never made a relationship with Him. Well, you know what? Let today be that day where you can know Him, know why He loved you, and know why He died for you. A little bit, Randy's going to come up here. We're going to have an invitation. Let me encourage you, church. Don't be willing to make others cry out for God and you just sit and listen to their echoes. Every day, your life should resound so much for Christ that when people look at you, they can see the echoes that you're making around you. They can see the difference that you're making, and they want to join in. As a church, we should be a beacon of love, of hope, and of life. We can't be content with being an echo of what we used to be. In a minute, we're going to have the altar open. If you want to come or pray, or if you want to make a decision to join or accept Christ, feel free. But let's go ahead and go to the Word in prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank You for all that You've done, for all that You are. Lord, I pray that You would forgive us when we fall short. We don't always do what we should. We don't always love the way that You love. But Lord, I just pray that today that we would be ready and willing to love like You loved, to the point of giving up our lives, that we would be able to proclaim You with all that we have. We wouldn't be content with what we used to do, but that we would be willing and ready to reach out to people that don't know You, to become all things to all people so that some might get saved. Oh Lord, give us the strength to be more passionate for You. Lord, we pray these in Your name. Amen.